And hello, I am Larry Fleischer. I am your host of this edition of Locked On Yankees, the podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. And for those who might be tuning in for the first time or didn't hear my previous appearances, co-guest appearing with Jesse Spector, I'm a longtime writer with extensive experience around many sports, mostly baseball, so that includes extensive experience around the Yankees. And on this show, we are going to discuss the latest news, mix in some other stats, and some other things pertaining to the Yankees. Starting pitching, injury updates, and other things that would be relevant to the Yankees, who are a little over 2 weeks away from opening their season in Toronto on March 29th, and a little under 3 weeks away from opening their home schedule against Tampa Bay on April 2nd, where we certainly hope it will not be what it looks like outside as we're recording this, which is snowy and rainy. But nonetheless, here we are, getting ready for a highly anticipated Yankee season for the Yankees, and which probably explains why Neil Walker is on the team, and we're going to delve into that in a few minutes. And now it was a good time to remind you that you can download the show on iTunes and Stitcher. And you can feel free to leave us a rating, tell us what you think of the show, and what you might want to hear on the show. And also, we can tell you that if you are certainly interested in advertising the show, you can email us at lockedonnyy@gmail.com. Once again, that email address is lockedonnyy@gmail.com. And the big topic today for the Yankees is Neil Walker. The Yankees have been holding open competition. Well, at least they, on the surface, they had. They might have been talking to Neil Walker for a number of while under the radar without it coming out. Because yesterday they signed him. And, It became official yesterday. There were reports. It kind of evolved quickly. There were reports that it was going to happen around, late yesterday morning, and then by yesterday afternoon, there was Neil Walker showing up to talk to the media. And here's just some of the things that he said. He says it was a crazy off season, but more than anything, my hope was that I would land somewhere that was going to be competitive and a chance to win. So I can't really control what happened in the off season. I'm just happy to be here on a contending team. So all certainly accurate statements. I mean, when you consider the pay cut that the guy is getting, he was paid $17.2 million when he took the qualifying offer from the Mets to start his second year, and then the Mets traded him to Milwaukee when their season didn't go well. And now he can earn, he's getting $4 million with 500,000 incentives for plate appearances, which gives him $4.5 million. That's his third lowest salary. But he gives the Yankees some insurance in case, say, Gleyber Torres' recovery in terms of his physical well-being and his timing at the plate is slower than they thought. He's not necessarily Starlin Castro. Starlin Castro is capable of 20 and 80. I mean, he could be. I mean, Neil Walker has had 20 home run seasons, hitting 23 with the Mets 2 years ago in 113 games, and 23 in 2014 with 137 games with the Pirates when he was 28. But what he is more like a Chase Headley numbers. Last year he hit 265, 14 home runs, and 49 RBIs while playing for the Mets and the Brewers. I mean, he's productive. He's a switch hitter, which is nice. And he's a good clubhouse guy. The one thing you do have to worry about is health. He had back surgery after 2016, after his season ended prematurely. And he also dealt with a hamstring injury. I remember this. This was a really bad hamstring injury. One of those where you knew it right away. It happened about a middle of June game against the Cubs. He just ran out. But, for what they're costing, what it's going to cost, and what his track record is. It's a move worth doing, and it's also, they're also talking, he can also play some other positions, though he's limited, having 17 games at first base, all which were last year, and 19 at third base, which was during when he was with the Mets. So he's kind of similar to Chase Headley. I mean, if you remember, Chase Headley quickly made the transition to first base when they acquired Todd Frazier from the White Sox. So all in all, it's not a bad move. I mean, my preference would have been to maybe see Brandon Drury play second or Tyler Wade play second, just see what a young kid can do. But it's certainly understandable what the Yankees are. The Yankees are a bottom line winning business, and as we say, which is what Brian Cashman basically hinted at when he says his job is to evaluate what's available. They think he's a professional hitter, and if he can cover us. So second base is pretty much now covered, assuming Neil Walker doesn't get hurt, which, you know, certainly could happen. But all in all, it's a good move. I mean, I assume he'll be ready for the opening game. I mean, it's a couple weeks away, but he's been working out. And given his other options, it's certainly not a bad move for the Yankees. And so Neil Walker it is. And the tabloids played it well today. Daily News putting Walk This Way as a back page headline. And the Post going with the real deal. Nice play on words there. So Neil Walker is your latest Yankee. And I think it's a good move. As we reiterated, it gives time for them to get Gleyber Torres ready. I mean, I don't even know if we... I mean, it doesn't seem... It seems like we might see him at some point. But he is hitting 130. So it's certainly not a guarantee we'll see him. But it's a new one. Now the only thing we'll be waiting for is what will the home run call be when Neil Walker hits on run, because he's likely to hit one. And before we, he's a switch hitter, so let's take a look at some of his splits. Neil Walker against right-handed pitchers is a career 275 hitter with 115 home runs and a 801 OPS. He's a 264 hitter against left-handed hitters. So he's fairly consistent. I mean, he's what you'd say steady, but it's not spectacular, I guess. I mean, if you look at his batting averages, his lowest batting average was .251 in 2013, and his highest batting average was .296 in 2010, which was his first full season, which was his rookie season when he got 426 at bats. His highest RBI total was 83. So these are all, and the Yankees don't need like a Robinson Cano type of second baseman in terms of numbers because of what they have with Sanchez, Stanton, and Judge, and others. So when it comes down to it, the price and the track record is pretty good. So here we are, Neil Walker, the newest Yankee. And also should be noted that he'll be the 130th player to appear for both the Mets and the Yankees once he gets into a game. And it's a fairly long list that has really, in recent years, picked up. But that's another topic for another day. Now, moving on. Now we're going to talk about Jordan Montgomery. Jordan Montgomery recently was named a fifth starter. And then, he had a clunker for spring training. He was named a starter after allowing one run in eight and two-thirds innings, and it was certainly not a surprise that they named him that. I mean, you saw what he did last year. couple games where he took no hitters in the second inning. But in a funny thing, one of those funny coincidences, in the first start, he got hammered by the Marlins. They hit him for 4 runs, 5 hits, couple walks, 2/3 innings. But it was more a lack of tempos and inability to throw his secondary pitches, which we know does happen from time to time. So I don't think it's a big deal. I mean, it's spring training. There's no reason to panic. But it's just one of those funny coincidences. But it also does, it's a funny coincidence that it happens on the same time that the Lance Lynn gets signed by the Twins. I don't think the Yankees were in on Lance Lynn. Or if they were, it was more like a due diligence type of thing. I don't think they ever intended on offering Lance Lynn, who signed with the Minnesota Twins. Sorry. They're giving him a 2-year deal, I believe. Yeah. They're giving him a... I don't remember what exactly they're giving him, but they weren't going to, and with good reason. Jordan Montgomery was a productive rookie pitcher for the Yankees last year. And by all means, financially and personally, you want to see a homegrown guy get another chance to continue to do it. I mean, the guy went 9-7 with a 3.98 in 29 games, so he struck out 144 in 153 innings. So you want to see more development from that standpoint. So it's understandable why the Yankees weren't on Lance Lynn. And if, you know, he does falter, gets hurt, anything, all things that we hope, well, we certainly hope will not happen, you can always figure it out from there by getting a trade or something like that. So Jordan Montgomery, the fifth starter, is a good move. We are curious to see more of him. He had an excellent curveball last year, and excellent poise for a young pitcher. So we do want to see more of Jordan Montgomery. I suppose, no offense to Lance Lynn, but we're glad that the Yankees decided not to go in that direction. And if we could just talk more about Jordan Montgomery. We like his curveball. We do. We like, you know, we like his poise and other notes. So there's your Jordan Montgomery fifth starter update. And we're hoping he does well. So moving on, the Yankees are 17 games through their spring training season. Numbers in spring training don't necessarily, you know, mean anything. I mean, I guess if you're a fan of the team, you're happy that they're winning in spring training, but they're certainly not precursors to future success. Plenty of teams have, and all sports have done well in the preseason and not done well, but it is nice to see the Yankees are 11-6 through the first 17 games of the preseason after last night's 2-1 loss. And last night's game was pretty much just about Masahiro Tanaka rounding into form. And yes, he gave up a home run, which was a problem last year. He gave up a lot of them, 35 to be exact. But he also struck out 6, pitched 4 innings, and pitched fairly well. He gave up those 4 hits, walked the guy. So it's really hard to really get on him for having an ERA of 10 in spring training. Other numbers of note for the Yankees. I mean, the first headline we see when you do a search for Masahiro Tanaka, Tanaka dismisses his spring training struggles. Perfect example of how preseason doesn't necessarily forecast things. Last year, he was 3-1, 0.38 ERA in 6 outings. Got hit hard on opening day, and went on to have a poor half, first half, before really dominating down the stretch. You might remember the Friday afternoon game against the Blue Jays where he struck out 14, and then the 1-0 game in the playoffs. I mean, the home runs, yeah, are a problem. 35, were fourth most in the majors. But he's only, but in 5 2/3, he's given up 2. I mean, he left a fastball up to Bobby Wilson, the backup catcher, who was, may or may not make the Twins. But, you know, he's not concerned, and I don't think we should be. He says, I'm not concerned at all. Like I said earlier, I go in with a theme and I try to work on things. It's not like I would necessarily throw certain pitches for the home runs that I gave up, so I'm not concerned. And Aaron Boone also not concerned. I think it was continuing from what I saw from him all spring, from the first side I saw him throw early on until now. I think he's well on his way to where he wants to be, so it's not a big deal. Maybe a number that could be a big deal. Do you think it's, I don't know if you think it's a big deal, but Greg Bird last night, Greg Bird went 1-for-4 last night, and that is gives him a 148 batting average. He is 4-for-27 in the spring with 11 strikeouts and 6 walks, and yet to hit a home run. But, again, another guy who doesn't necessarily, we all think Greg Bird is going to hit. We just hope he doesn't have to endure the injury problems and the unnamed Yankee executive questioning whether he actually wants to play like he did last year. God knows that was awkward for him. So I don't think you should be too concerned about Greg Bird. Other numbers of notes. Last week we had talked about Andujar, who was in the 300s. He's hitting 281 now. And the other, Brandon Drury's up to 296. And, you know, usual stuff. We saw Judge and Stanton hit their first home runs, and we were certainly actually going, we were going to talk more extensively about that, but then the Yankees dropped Neil Walker on us, so we felt that was a more important topic. But it looks like Judge and Stanton are rounding into their form. And Gary Sanchez hitting 400. So, and on the pitching side of things, some notable numbers. Roldis Chapman has appeared in 3 games so far, working out some things. Sonny Gray's appeared in 2. Chad Green has already had 9 strikeouts in 5 1/3 innings. And so it looks like everyone is rounding into form or getting close to it for the Yankees. And there we are. So 11-6, and we're eagerly anticipating when an 11-6 record actually counts. And that is a wrap for today. We look forward to future editions of the podcast. I'm Larry Fleischer, and you have been listening to the Locked On Yankees podcast, which, as we previously mentioned, if you can be found on iTunes and Stitcher. On iTunes, you can leave us a review and a comment telling us what you think and what you might want to hear. And if you would also like to advertise on the show, you can email us at lockedonnyy@gmail.com. And if you're one of those people who likes to lurk on Twitter or likes to use Twitter fairly frequently, like I do sometimes, you can follow us at simply just type in Locked On Yankees on Twitter, and you can read everything that we tweet about. Links to shows, links to other things, links to other things that we're thinking about. And that's about it for today. We'll talk to you next time.